Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in.
Good morning. The title of our sermon today is Just Give Me Some Patience. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever prayed to God and asked Him to make you more loving, maybe more caring, more kind, more gentle, with people that kind of get under your skin? Maybe there's a difficult family member or a difficult coworker. What about patience? Have you ever asked God to give you more patience with someone? Just thrown up that prayer in the morning. God, you know I struggle with this, and this person really gets under my skin. Can you just give me some patience today? How does that normally work out for you? Not so good. I can tell you how it works out for me. I've worked in the corporate world for a very, very long time, what I consider to be a very long time. And for the past decade, I've spent that time in sales. And in my sales job, I am assigned to a set number of accounts, a handful of accounts that I deal with and manage the relationship, and we only sell to those accounts, as do my peers on my team. We work as a unit, and we all deal with and sell to those same accounts. And this is important to remember the time frame for this story. Now, I also used to work with someone, and to protect the names of the innocent, we'll just refer to him as Larry. And Larry had the motto in life of, why do something yourself when you can get someone else to do it for you? You guys know someone like this? So Larry was someone who would really try my patience, and I would find myself in the mornings, being a Christian, praying when I got up or on the road on the way to work or when I was drinking my coffee, Lord, just give me some extra patience today. Help me not to lose my cool, to blow my top again. And then I would travel into work. Well, for the better part of a decade, Larry would send me an email at least once a week. And in his email, he would ask me, he's like, hey, Bob, can you send me the main account number for this customer? Now, realize that these main account numbers, they never change. They never change. For 10 years, they have never, ever changed. At once a week, I would get the same email asking me for these account numbers. Now, sometimes I would actually reply to the email. I'd reply, and I'd be like, here's the account number, and I'd put some snarky, sarcastic comment in there. Hey, here's the account number, but, you know, we do have 10 systems you can look this thing up in. But most of the time, because I couldn't take it, I would just simply ignore the email. I would ignore it. But that never worked. Because, you see, Larry, among other things, was extremely persistent, which served him very, very well in sales, not so much on interpersonal relations. So I would get the email and I would ignore it. Now, if I ignored that email, 5 minutes later, I can expect a pop-up on my screen from our company internal messenger. Larry, hey, Bob, do you have that account number? And I would see it and I would ignore that. If I ignored that, well, then I'd get a call on my cell phone or a text on my cell phone asking me for the account number, which I would also ignore. And then once I ignored that, I would get a call on my desk phone. Who calls anybody on their desk phone anymore? And I would not pick that up, and Larry would leave a message asking me for the account number. And then finally, after I ignored that, Larry would physically get up from his desk, and he would walk down to where I was, and he would stand behind me lurking until I turned around and acknowledged his presence. And he would be like, hey, Bob, you're in. Do you have that account number for me? At which point, I have always had enough, and I would just blow up. And I would be like, dude, if you spent the same amount of time you did calling me and texting me and emailing me and leaving voicemails, you could have just got the account number yourself. Not to mention that, hey, did you ever think of maybe just writing them down? I mean, just write it down somewhere. Or better yet, why don't you check through all the emails of the past 10 years that I sent you that have the account number in it? Why won't you do that? And Larry would just look at me, and he would smile very calmly, and then I would just hand him the account number. So good job, right? Good job, Bob. You prayed for patience, you got into the office at 9 o'clock, and by 9:15, you blew it already. So what happened? What happened? Why did I lose patience? I asked God to give me patience. Well, I know what it must be, right? God must be testing me. You've heard it said, right? Don't pray to God for something like patience, because he's just going to throw a whole heap of annoyances into your life to just work that patience into you. That must have been it, right? Larry was put into my life for the past decade just to work patience into me day after day after day. No, nope, not whatsoever. I'm telling you, when we do that, God's looking down at you and he's looking down at me and he's saying, Bob, I love you, man, but do not pin this one on me. This is not my fault. The reason you're blowing up, the reason you're losing your cool time and time again is actually because when it comes to patience, you have none. You actually have no patience whatsoever. Now, some of these things we've mentioned, right? Patience, kindness, love, joy, faithfulness, self-control. If you've been around church anytime, you've heard these things. They're referred to as the fruits of the Spirit, right? Fruits of the Spirit. I'm just going to read a verse here for you guys. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 say this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, Jesus had something to say about fruit. He had an awful lot to say, actually, about fruit. And I have one more verse I'd like to share with you. This is Jesus speaking. I believe we have it up on the screen here. This is from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Jesus says this. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So, if Jesus is the vine, and I'm a branch, and patience is a fruit, and I don't have any, well then I must not be connecting to the vine. But God, I did connect with you. I prayed. I asked you to give me some patience. I woke up in the morning. I said, God, please give me patience for this situation. And nothing happened. I was connecting with you. But you know what I've come to realize lately? Praying to God and asking him to just give me patience or make me more kind or make me more joyful or to give me more self-control, well, I might as well just sit down and pray to God and ask him to give me some six-pack abs without ever hitting a gym, without ever doing a sit-up or a crunch or one of those god-awful plank things where after 10 minutes you feel like your guts are going to fall out, right? I'm asking for God to give me something without putting in any of the effort that's required to obtain those things. So there is something we need to do to grow that fruit. Now, it's not a laborious process, though, like doing sit-ups or working out. It's not something that is difficult and hard and takes a lot of effort. When you think about a branch producing fruit, like, are they ever just like writhing and creaking and twisting in pain and just yelling like a woman in labor trying to push out a grape, like just, oh God, just please let me push this grape out. No, I mean, going to a vineyard or an orchard would be the most horrible place on earth, right? Just thousands of branches just yelling and screaming. It wouldn't be a place you would want to be at. No, orchards, vineyards, when they're growing their fruits, it's very quiet, peaceful, silent process. It doesn't take much effort. They grow fruit because they're attached to the source of where that fruit comes from. So there is something that we need to do. So what is it that we need to do to produce that fruit? Well, in the Bible, Jesus' disciples, they referred to him as rabbi, which simply meant teacher. And there were a lot of rabbis. There were a lot of teachers back in Jesus' time. He wasn't the only one. And he also wasn't the only one that called and had disciples. Many rabbis and teachers, if they found someone who they thought had the chops to come and follow them and learn from their teaching, they would say, come and follow me, as Jesus did with his disciples. And that person would drop everything. They would drop everything and they would go and they would follow that rabbi. We see that in the New Testament with Jesus. When he calls his disciples, they were fishing in the middle of something. They stopped what they were doing and they went and they followed that teacher because it was a great honor in that culture to be called by a rabbi. And your goal in following that rabbi was to, yes, of course, learn their teaching. But the ultimate goal was to become exactly like that rabbi. They would study how the rabbi spoke, their mannerisms, everything they did, and they would imitate them. And if you were called to follow a rabbi, your friends or your family, they might say a blessing to you back then, which was pretty well known, which went something like this. They would say, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Now, what that simply meant was, as you were following your rabbi back then, you would travel from place to place, as Jesus and his disciples did. They traveled often from town to town. And between towns, it wasn't like, you know, a short journey. They would be on foot, they would be on dusty roads, and it could take 2, 3, 4 days for them to get to their destination. Now, as they're walking, they're following behind Jesus, they're listening to his teaching, they're getting to know him, he's getting to know them, and as they're following them, right, the analogy goes that he'd be kicking up dust on the road, and you are following so closely behind him that you're actually getting covered in that dust. So may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi meant may you become like your rabbi. May you stay that close to your rabbi that you absorb all of his teaching and all of what he has to offer. So, if we are disciples of Jesus, and we're called to follow our rabbi, and to do the things that Jesus did, well, what did Jesus do? What are the things that Jesus did? Well, he healed the sick, he prayed, he spoke about the kingdom of God, he spent a lot of time hanging out with his friends, eating and drinking and sharing meals. He preached the gospel of God's kingdom. And most importantly, he spent an awful lot of time alone with the Father in solitude. I'm going to fire through a couple verses here real quick about Jesus' time in solitude. I'm not going to hit all the references. They're up on the screen, but you'll see them there. The scriptures say, early the next morning, Jesus went out to an isolated place. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. One day soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. Then, accompanied by his disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. You get the idea. There are many more scriptures in the Bible about Jesus getting alone with the Father. So think about that for a second. Jesus, he was God. He was God in the flesh, yet he felt the need to separate himself and spend time with the Father, even though he was part of that Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit. He was part of it, but he still felt the need to be isolated and connect with God. And if Jesus felt to do that, and we, if we're disciples of Jesus, then we should be doing the same thing because we're no greater than our Master. We need to be spending time alone with Jesus in order to connect to that life-giving vine that's going to produce the fruits we've talked about in our lives. Now, I don't have any special formula for how this works. I'm going to tell you what I've just started to learn to do this year. It may look a lot different for you, but what I've been doing to try and imitate this practice is I'll get up a couple hours before my children get up, because once they're up, it's all bets are off. There's no solitude going to happen. And I will go downstairs, and I'll light a candle, and I'll sit on my couch, and I will just invite Jesus to come and speak to me. No agenda, no prayer requests, no asking for things for myself or for other people. There's a time for that. Jesus calls to do that as well. But in getting alone with God, I've been learning to just sit and listen and ask him that he would come and that he would show up so that I can know him and that he can know me. Now, have you ever tried to just sit in silence? Maybe you have, but if you haven't, it's almost impossible when you start out. When I first started doing this, I would literally take my phone and I would put the timer on 10 minutes. Like, let me see if I can do this for 10 minutes. And I would spend 8 of those minutes thinking about everything else under the sun except clearing my mind. It was almost impossible. Because if you're like me, and I'm sure you are, we are so connected to so many things in our society today, through our phones, through our email, through our messengers, all the news feeds, everything we have coming in, we are connected to so many things. Yet we are so disconnected from the things that actually matter. But over time, and even in the midst of all the chaos that's going on in my brain at the time, eventually my mind quiets down, and I can tell you each and every time Jesus shows up in that still small voice, and I hear something or feel something from God. And I start to get the impression like I'm actually starting to know Jesus. And he's beginning to know me. And that's what's going to start to produce fruit in our lives. Now, there is one portion of Scripture. Well, there's a few portions, but there's one in particular in the Bible, words of Jesus, that trouble me a bit. And I find myself thinking about them quite often from time to time. And that's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. I believe we have it up. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name,' but I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" And what Jesus is saying here is that we can know about him, we can even do things for him, but we can still not know him. Do you know Jesus this morning? More importantly, does Jesus know you? If you were in a room full of people and Jesus showed up, are you running to him across the room because it's like a best friend that you haven't seen in 10 years but you've spoken to time and time again, and when you see them, you're running up to them, embracing them because you know the level of that relationship? Or are you standing back in the corner, kind of glancing up from time to time, making eye contact? I think we know each other, but I'm not sure how this meeting is going to go. Now listen, I'm not trying to rain down any sort of fire and brimstone here this morning. That's not the point of this whatsoever, but these are Jesus' words. These are things that he said. And I'm not looking just to stir things up. Actually, this verse, I didn't pull it out of a hat. Right before Jesus goes into this, he's talking about producing fruit in Matthew 7. You can check that out for yourself. But I know right now there are at least a few of you out there. You're thinking to yourself, oh man, do I know Jesus? Does he know me? I don't know. I know a lot about him. I do stuff for him. I serve and I work, but do I know Jesus? Now listen here. Listen closely here. What you might think you're feeling right now is guilt. And it's not guilt. It's not guilt that's being put upon you right now. What you're feeling is conviction. And there's a huge, huge difference. Guilt is from our enemy. And it says that we are hopeless, and we are worthless, and we are unlovable, and we are unforgivable, and that is not from God. That is not God's Spirit. What you're feeling is conviction. And conviction is God's Spirit speaking to our heart and saying, hey, something's a little off here. Or something in your life is not right here. But let me point it out to you and show you, and let me gently guide you back to where you need to be. That is what conviction is, and it's a good thing. It's the first step to forgiveness for anything. And God's Spirit works gently. Also, might I note, maybe this is the first time you're ever hearing this. Maybe it's the first time you've ever been taught that you need to get alone and connect with Jesus. I only started doing this year. And I've been a Christian what I consider a very long time. Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? After all this time, only now I'm learning that this is how I grow patience. This is how I become more kind and loving. Sometimes when we've been around church a long time, and maybe you're like me, these verses, they can become just very rote, right? The vine, the branches, yes, Jesus is the vine, I know, I need to connect with Jesus, and it kind of just passes over our heads. But listen, Jesus isn't looking at you right now. He's not looking at you saying, yeah, you know what, I mean, you claim to know me, but you know, you really don't spend any time with me whatsoever. It's really terrible. I really wish you would. Jesus is not like that at all. Whatsoever. If we stop and we think about it and we say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I put you second in my life. I want to connect with you. I want to know you. I want you to know me. I'm telling you, Jesus is sitting there and he's just looking and he's just like, yeah, yeah. I want to know you too. I've just been waiting all this time for you to turn and look at me and let's start. Let's get to know each other. You have to think of the story of the prodigal son here. That's Jesus, right? The son who took his father's inheritance, took what he could get from his father and just left and went out on his own and did his own thing. And then he realized the error of his ways and he came back and he was so guilty and felt so guilty and he just thought that his father was just going to rain down just punishment on him, but he thought it would be better to be back. But what did the father do? He saw the son coming and he ran up to him. He ran up to him and he's like, I love you. I love you. I don't care about the past. Let's just start where we left off. And he threw a party for his son. That is who Jesus is here. So let me challenge you this week. Start somewhere. Try and spend some time alone with Jesus. Maybe it looks like something that I do in the morning. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's the afternoon you can get away. Maybe it's in the evenings. Maybe you like to go to the beach or the woods and any place you can get alone. Spend some time alone with Jesus, and I promise you, he's going to show up. And now, this might feel like a little jab, and it's not, but when you start to do these things, when you start to do these practices, don't shout it from the rooftops. Don't get on social media and be like, hey, hashtag spending time alone with Jesus today. It's not a math test. We don't get any credit for showing our work. In fact, it's quite the opposite, and God's kingdom works in such a different way than the world does. But when you start to do these things and you start to spend time with Jesus, and you begin to hear his voice and you begin to get to know him, I guarantee you there's going to be fruit in your life. You're going to be more patient and more kind and more humble, and you're going to have more self-control, not because of anything you're doing, but simply because of who you know. And then one day someone's going to say to you, "Hey, Bob, how is it you are so patient and kind and gentle with that person? I would have hit him with a sack of nickels and thrown him in the river already. But you're patient and kind and gentle." And then it's, "Well, it's nothing that's in me, but let me tell you about who I know." And that's how we change people's hearts, and that's how the message gets out to the world. Amen? Amen. Would you guys pray with me this morning? Jesus, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for Sunday, God. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your being and your character and who you are, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you are just waiting for us to come and connect with you and to get to know you, and that you want to know us, Jesus. I pray for each and every person in this congregation this morning and all those watching online today, Lord, that you would begin to show us how to spend time alone with you, God, how to know you, that we may be known, Lord, and that you would produce good fruit in us, and that people would recognize who we are and what we believe, not just by what we do, Lord, but because who we are. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word True North to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.